I was doing really good with this whole graduation thing. All the way through the party that we had for Reagan last night and stuff, I was doing great, and we were doing good until I got home last night, and Reagan was going through different things and talking about different experiences and things that had happened. And all of a sudden, it just hit me. I started bawling last night. It was crazy. Our little kids, whew, they're growing up, aren't they? And that's what they're supposed to do. So, I had a plan from all the way back in March 30th. I got a text message.
Oh, there we go. I got a text message from one of our online members that had been watching online, and it was Sue Frank. Sue sent me a text message on March 30th, and it was a, now I got to find it. Yeah.
Did you forget anything?
Junior church. I was going to say, Heidi, you didn't graduate too, did you? Okay, good. All right. So, junior church, any kids who are up to the age of 8, I think it is, if they'd like to go upstairs with Heidi, that would be great. Heidi Franklin, she's heading upstairs, and she's got a great plan for all the kids. So if you like to go upstairs, you're welcome to do that. So now I need to find. Here we go. So I got a text message from Sue Frank back on March 30th. Just a message of encouragement. And I remember reading it. And I immediately thought, as soon as I read it, I was like, boom, I've got my graduation message right there. And so I've been hanging on to it all this time, thinking about it, praying about it, and then all of a sudden this week, that same encouraging message that she sent to me was like all over Facebook. I mean, it was just all over the place, and I kept reading it in all these different places. I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can use that now, and then all of a sudden I thought, you know what? I'm going to use it anyway. This is a really encouraging thing, and I have a message to go along with it. So this is a quote from a young youth pastor down in Mississippi. I can't remember exactly where. I apologize. His name is Alex Cravens. And he wrote this as part of a message he was preaching. And it was just very encouraging to me. And I did appreciate getting to read it. And I hope it'll be encouraging to you also. So it was this. I love this. Do not feel sorry for or fear for your kids, because the world they're going to grow up in is not what it used to be. God created them and called them for the exact moment in time that they are in. Their life wasn't a coincidence or an accident. Raise them up to know the power they walk in as children of God. Train them up in the authority of His Word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Empower them to know they can change the world. Don't teach them to be fearful and disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they can do something about it. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they were in because of God's sovereign plan. Let me read that again, because this is important. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they were in because of God's sovereign plan. He knew Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew David could handle Goliath. He knew Esther could handle Haman. He knew Peter could handle the persecution. He knows that your child can handle whatever challenge they face in their life. He created them specifically for it. Don't be scared for your children, but be honored that God chose you to parent the generation that is facing the biggest challenges of our lifetime. Raise up to the challenge. Raise up Daniels and Davids and Esthers and Peters. God isn't scratching his head, wondering what he's going to do with this mess of a world. He has an army that he is raising up to drive back the darkness and make him known all over the earth. Don't let your fear steal the greatness God has placed on them. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything besides our sweet little babies. And we just want to protect them from anything that could be hard on them. But they were born for such a time as this. That's amazing. So I got to looking and praying about this. And that last little passage at the very end, that they were born for such a time as this, is a quote, really, a somewhat quote from the book of Esther. And the book of Esther is a very interesting story that goes on. So Esther is a Jewish girl. She was raised by her cousin named Mordecai. And Mordecai and Esther were living in a time that was very tenuous, to say the least, for the Jewish people. The Jewish people had already been captive, taken over by the Babylonians. The Babylonians came in and captured the Jewish race. This is when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken off, and they were part of the Babylonian Empire. Well, the Babylonian Empire went on for a long time, but then the Persians came in, and they took over the Babylonian Empire, and things kept going from bad to worse for the Jewish nation over and over again, to the point where now the Persian Empire is in control, and they have this king who is in control, and he's like all full of himself. And he throws this great big party for all the people, and he's showing off his wealth and all the different things. He has a party that lasts, I think, 180 days. That's a party. I mean, we had a graduation party that lasted 2 hours, and I was worn out. I don't know how you could throw a party that was going to last 180 days, but this man throws a party that lasts 180 days, and at the 180 days, he was going to show off one of his greatest prized possessions that he had, and that was his wife. And he called for his wife, the queen, to come and present herself to the entire crowd. And she's like, I ain't doing that. I'm not going to stand before all you drunken fools. No, I don't know what she said, but she refused to do it. Made the king infuriated. He made him so mad that he says, you're no longer going to be queen. I need to find a new queen. So he called for all the maidens of the land to come and present themselves so that he might find a new queen that he could honor and cherish and show off. So all the maidens of the land came, and Esther was one of these maidens that was in the land. And before she went to be presented to the king and all the different things that went along with it, her cousin Mordecai, who had raised her, told her, he said, you need to go because this is what was being called. He says, but keep your race, keep your origin a secret. Don't tell anyone that you're Jewish because if you do, you know, I don't know, something bad could happen. So she does that. Long story short, Esther is chosen to be the new queen. All right? So she's the new queen. She's honored. She, you know, she's got this high position, all these things going on. But there was a villain in the story of Esther. If you take a look at read the book, you'll find there's a villain, and his name is Haman. And Haman hated the Jews because of Mordecai, Esther's cousin. She hated the Jews. Did I say that wrong? Uncle? Oh, I thought they were cousins. Anyway, so they were related. So he hated the Jews because of Mordecai, because Mordecai would not bow down to Haman. I'm getting confused on my names, but I think I'm doing all right. Would not bow down to Haman. So he hated all the Jews, and he asked the king and said, I will give you so much money if we can put out an edict that we destroy all the Jews. All right? And so the king didn't know any different. He didn't know what was going on, didn't know what was behind all of it, and he agreed to it. And so Haman put out this edict saying, on this certain day coming up, everyone has the opportunity to take up your arms, and we're going to completely destroy all the Jewish nation that's in the land of the Persians. We're going to completely destroy them. So Mordecai and everyone else knows about this because it's an edict that's being sent out all over the land. And Mordecai sees the edict, and he's like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? How is this going to come? So he realizes that Esther is now the queen of Persia. And he sends out a message to Esther saying, hey, this is your time. This is something that you need to do. You have an opportunity to make this right. And so he sends a message to Esther. Esther sends a message back. So we're in Esther, chapter 4. I'm just trying to get you up to date on what's going on here. So he sends out this message to Esther. And he explained to her, he told him to urge her to go to the king's presence. I'm in Esther chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. He says he also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for the annihilation which had been published in Susa to show to Esther and explain to her. And he told him to urge her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. So Mordecai is saying to Esther, go to the king, see if we can get this reversed, see what we can do. So the servant went back to report this to Esther, and what Mordecai said. Then she instructed him to go to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and all the people of the royal province know that for that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the golden scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. So Esther is saying, I would love to do something about this, but if I go to the king with a request, more than likely, I'm going to be put to death because I'm not allowed to go to the king on my own. I can only go to the king when he calls to me. So if I go to him, I'm putting my life at risk. But then as Esther goes on, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. That was kind of a long way to get to that one little phrase. For such a time as this. You see, God isn't making a mistake. Just like what I read at the beginning, he knows exactly what this time needs and who this time was created for. And it was created for you guys, for each and every one of us. You're here at this specific time in 2021 in the United States of America, in Walnut, Illinois, or wherever you live. God has pre-created this time for you. And so many times I think what we think in our minds is, well, that's for the important people. You know, for the Davids and for the Esthers and for the Daniels and the Peters and the Pauls and all these really important people. That's for them. Wrong. That's for you. He has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of your lives. Whether you're in eighth grade going into high school going into college, college going into the world, or if you've been living your life at your job for the last 25 years. Today, God has a plan for each and every one of your lives. And it's an amazing plan. And sometimes it's a big plan, and sometimes he works in the smallest of things. Sometimes I wonder if my life is worth it. Sometimes I go at the end of the day, and I'm like, did I accomplish anything this day? And sometimes I think, wow, I really did something today. But sometimes I wonder if I've got it completely wrong, when the days I think I've done a lot, impacted a lot of lives, did I really do anything? And there are probably other days where I didn't think I did a thing, that I did my most important work. Do you realize that? I don't know why this has been brought to my mind, but several years ago, Kim Nelson was having surgery. I can't remember the name of the place. You remember this story? He had surgery. I went to the surgery. I prayed with him. I was thinking, you know, that's what I was supposed to do. And I was there for Kim and Diane for the surgery and stuff like that. And I remember walking out. You guys remember this story? I remember walking out of the hospital thinking, I don't know if I'm doing any good here today at all. And I'm walking back to my car and I've got my Bible in my hand. And there's two women in the parking lot. You remember this story? Two women in the parking lot. And they see me walking with the Bible, and they say, are you a pastor? And I said, yep. And I can't remember what the problem was. I think someone was in dire need in their family, and they were scared and all this sort of stuff. And in the parking lot of a hospital that I don't even know, with two women, I have no idea what their names are or what is going on. I remember sharing the gospel with them and praying with them right out in the parking lot. You know what? That day, those two women may be the most significant impact of my ministry in 30 years, and I don't know, and you don't know. You see, God has amazing plans for each and every one of you, wherever you're at. You are in the exact point in time of history that God wants you to be, and you're not here by accident, and you're not here by chance. You're here by design. But there's one thing that Esther and David and Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Paul and Peter and all these other guys and all these other people, is something that they have in common. It's how they respond to what's going on around them. It might be scary. It might be harsh. But they respond, almost every one of them, in the same way. And I'm not going to look at all of them. We're just going to look at Esther just for a few minutes. So how did Esther respond when Mordecai said to her, "But you and your father's family will perish. Who knows but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this?" Listen to how Esther responds. Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days or nights, and I and my maids will do as you do." You see, the first step is what? Fasting. And what goes along with fasting? Prayer. You know what? Until we get to the point where we desire God's will for our life, that we're seeking Him to do what He's calling us to do, until we get to the point that we want His plans for our life even more than our own, nothing's really going to happen. Until we seek Him and ask Him and desire His plan for our life, guess what? That's not going to happen, because we're going to ignore it. We're not going to hear it. At some point in time, we have to understand that our greatest desire is for His plan to be fulfilled in our lives. And the way that that's going to happen is if we will seek Him. And if we seek Him, we will find Him. He desires to reveal His choices for our life. He desires to reveal His plans for our life in an amazing way, but we have to seek Him. And sometimes we think, well, that's just in the big things, the big decisions, like what college I'm going to go to, or what job I should go, or who should I marry, all those big decisions. No, it's not just in the big decisions. You eighth graders, you need to be praying about how God is going to use you in the next 4 years. And I don't mean about what sports you're going to play. And I don't mean about what favorite subjects you're going to have. I'm talking about the people that you're going to hang around with. If you would actually pray about it, I bet God might reveal some pretty interesting friendships that you never would have dreamed of. Who you're going to sit next to at the lunch table. That's a big deal. You don't know that right now, but it's a big deal. How you're going to act, where you're going to put your priorities. Now, you can make those choices, absolutely. But have you actually prayed about it? Have you asked your mom and dad, "Wow, would this be awesome if our eighth graders and our high schoolers and even our college age graduates would actually come to their moms and dads, whew, and say, would you pray with me about this?" Instead of weighing all the options and looking at this is the positive and this is the negative and making a list and checking it twice and figuring out which is the best option and which is the best, you know what? Sometimes the best option is the worst option. Have you ever found that out? With all my thinking and all my trials and all my things that I've tried to figure it out, sometimes the thing that we think is best turns out to be the absolute worst. And sometimes I've found that the things that I think that, man, that does not going to work, is the thing that if I trust Him, He brings great blessing from it. What if you asked your mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, what if you asked your friends, would you pray with me about this? Would you spend a few days seeking God on my behalf for the plans that He has for me? I know the world is my oyster. I know there's all kinds of options out there. And I know some are good and some are bad and some are the best, and I want the best, because that's what God wants for you. He wants the best. You see, Esther recognized the choice that she was about to make was a big one. And she asked Mordecai and all the Jews and her maidens that was surrounding her range of influence to pray and to fast, to ask God to examine them, to get rid of anything that might hinder them from following through with God's plan. He wants to show it to you. Have you asked? Or have you just weighed all the options? Have you just thought, what will be the easiest? You see, Esther came to the conclusion that when she prayed, God would show her the answer. No matter what, she says this, when this is done, when we've prayed, when we've fasted, when this is done, I will go to the king, and even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Now, that's not one of those things where I just don't care about my life, or it really doesn't matter. When she says, even if it's against the law, if I perish, I perish, she's not saying this is a bad thing. She's saying, I will trust in God. It's the same heart and attitude that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. It's the same attitude that David had. This is the same attitude that Jesus himself had in the garden when he says, yet your will and not my will be done. He's facing death. He knows it. And yet he's saying, I don't want anything else but your will to be done in my life. I want not the better option. I want the best option for my life. No matter what that means in the short term, I want the long-term results to come about. She prayed and sought God. Now, let's be honest. Have you done that? Eighth graders, have you done that? Whether you realize it or not, the friends that you're making, the friends that you're about to choose, are going to have a huge influence on your life. But more than that, you can have a huge influence on their lives. High schoolers, have you chosen? Have you prayed? Have you asked godly influences to come alongside you? Or have you just chosen? Are you taking the best job offer, graduates of college? The one with the most money, the best options, the coolest place to live? Or have you sought his will for your life? There's a good and there's a better and there's a best. God wants you to have the best. Not only that, but we need to understand that we have a unique role in this time in history. A unique role, each and every one of us. Esther could have very easily, remember what I told you earlier? When Mordecai said, hey, go and do this, but don't tell anyone that you're a Jew. She listened to that. As a matter of fact, it said like two or three times in chapter 2 and chapter 3, Mordecai's like, don't tell anyone that you're a Jew. No one knows that she's a Jew. She's the queen, and no one knows that she's a Jew. When this edict came out from Haman, she could have very easily sat back and said, not my problem. I can be quiet, I can be still, I can sit here, and more than likely it's all going to go around me and it's not going to affect my life. I understand that all these other people are going to perish, but I'm going to be safe. I don't have to get involved. I don't have to put my life on the line. How will they hear? Unless someone tells them. There's an interesting little part of this that I just got to get out. So Mordecai, talking back to Esther, says, for if you remain silent at this time, this is verse 14, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. So God's plan is not going to be thwarted. It's not going to be pushed aside. His plan will come to fruit. And you either get to be a part of it or you can ignore it and go your own way. But listen to what he says. But you and your father's family will perish. Now this kind of gets me a little bit. You know, a lot of times we look at what's going on in our world and we can be a lot like Esther if we choose to be. We can be saying, well, you know, I'm well-fed. I've got a good house. I've got a good job. My life's good. My family's good. I've got good kids. Why get involved with these other kids? Why get involved with all these big problems in the world and these people that I don't really know? I mean, she didn't know all the other Jews in Persia. She didn't, you know, it's not her problem, right? And so many times I think we live our life in such a way that that's how we do it. But here's the thing. God has called you. He has blessed you with salvation and the good news of a way to find life. And he's calling us to step out and use that influence in the lives around us. And here's the thing. We can sit back and do nothing. But guess what? His plan will continue on. And you can be a part of that plan or you cannot. And here's what drives me more than anything else. It's Justin, right? Justin Moon, I don't know you from Adam. We've never even talked, have we, bud? Not really, huh? I said, hi, how you doing, that kind of thing. I don't know Justin at all. You're graduating from eighth grade, right? Probably pretty insignificant guy right there. Yeah, I'm sorry. Justin, guess what? God loves you. And he has an amazing plan for your life. And more than anything else in all the world, he wants you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And he wants to take your life and he wants to mold it in such a way that will bring him glory. And if you choose to accept that, it's an amazing adventure. And I don't want you to miss it. You know why I'm saying that to Justin right now? I don't even know this kid. I really don't. You know why I'm saying this to him? Because one day, I don't know when, he might be a teacher or a coach. And he might have my granddaughter Joyce in his class or on his team. And if I speak into Justin's life right now, there's a possibility that Justin will speak into my granddaughter's life the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want. Because I don't know what I'm doing, how it's going to affect my family later. But I want to take advantage of every situation because here's the thing. Life does matter. Every day an opportunity does matter. And someone is keeping track of it and watching over it. You know, Nathan and I were talking this morning. I don't know why. It was the craziest thing. I don't know why, but did you notice a song that was being played during the music, during the picture time this morning that of all the graduates? It was like, and you know, normally we have this really amazing Christian song with a Christian message to it, and it's just all timed beautifully and amazingly. And we were talking about why we're not doing this amazing song with this great message. And the reason is, here's the reason, all right? We're ready for it? It's not because we're afraid to do that in any way, shape, or form. The reason we didn't have this amazing song, because if we played the amazing, like, what's that song you like, Kathy? What is it? You don't know? Okay, it must not be that amazing. So the reason that we're not playing one of these amazing songs is because if we played this amazing song while we're showing the pictures of all the graduates, there's a thing on Facebook that actually recognizes the song that's copyrighted, and it literally kicks us off of Facebook. As soon as that song, they recognize it, it kicks us off, and so all of a sudden we go blank, and all of our people at home, they're watching on Facebook, hello! And the people upstairs, they get kicked off. There they are, they're upstairs. They get kicked off. And so we chose to do just a little ditty song. And I got to think about this. It was so weird. I don't know why, but I come out to Nathan and I go, man, isn't that, how do they know? This is my question. How is it that we don't get kicked off when we're singing those same exact songs here, you know, as a worship team and stuff like that? How is it that we don't get kicked off for copyright for those songs? And he's like, well, they actually recognize, the software actually recognizes the, what's a good way to say this?
It recognizes the versions that the artists have.
There we go. The versions and the sound and the stuff, it recognizes that sound of that music, and so that's when it kicks off. So when we make our sound, and we sing it with our voices, it doesn't recognize it. And so it doesn't kick us off. Now, I asked him that question. He told me that. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. It's a little bit freaky and a little bit scary that in Walnut, Illinois, there's a program that's listening to everything we do and is so succinct and so precise that it's recognizing the voice and the music and kicking us out. Think about that for a little bit. We're watching you. We're listening to you. We see you. And as you're thinking about that, turn to Revelation chapter 20 and look what it says there. It says this. Then I saw a great white throne. Verse 11, chapter 20. I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it, earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great, listen to me, great Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, David, Esther, all these greats, great and small, like my brother Tracy here, brother Don, Ezreal, put it there. Great and small, actually they're the great and the others are the small, standing before the throne. And listen to what it says. And books were opened. There's another book that was opened, which is the book of life. And it says the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Because it was recorded in the books. Every word, every action, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. You see, what we're doing matters. Someone's paying attention. And there's blessing. And there's power. And there's consequences for every opportunity. Whew. You see how it matters? What you do today, what you say today. Not only does it matter today, not only does it matter tomorrow, but one day the books with all the recordings are going to be opened. And that matters. But what matters the most is the book. See, after all the books have been opened, there's going to be one book that's opened. And that book is the book of life. And that book is a recording of everyone who has put their faith in Jesus. And their name is written down as redeemed, covered by the blood of the Lamb. And that's the book that matters. That's the book we're looking for, striving for, working for. I love Esther. She prays. She asks her friends to pray. She's seeking God's will for what she's supposed to do. She recognizes the time and the moment that she's in. She recognizes the unique opportunity that she has, as each and every one of us should recognize every single day. She recognizes it, but the thing that Esther does more than anything else, prayer is wonderful. Recognizing your unique position is awesome. But here's the thing. If you don't step out, if you don't follow through, if you don't reach out, Justin, and say, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. if we don't step out in faith, the prayer, as good as it is, hasn't done its job. The faith, the uniqueness of who we are, as awesome as you are, if you don't take that next step, you're missing the point. You see, Esther takes that next step, and she goes to the king, and she enters the room, and at that very moment, her life is on the line, and he reaches out the scepter, and she touches it. And her life changes, and the life of the entire Jewish nation is changed because of one woman. Here's the thing. Prayer is vital. Understanding is important. But acting and taking the next step of faith is absolutely essential. What is it he's calling you to do today? Maybe it's just praying about who you're going to sit with next year at the lunch table. Maybe it's about praying about calling that person that you've never hung out with before, think is weird and goofy and dresses funny, and just invite him over for a popsicle. I don't know. Maybe it's time to just speak truth. Pray alongside your kids. Maybe it's time to ask your parents to pray with you about the next step. Maybe it's time to just literally step out in faith and see what God can do. I love what Esther says. Now I forgot what Esther said. What? If that's exactly what, thank you. You were here for that very moment. This is why God created you, Barbara. If I perish, I perish. Either way, I'm trying to follow the will of God. My life is in his hands. And he created me for this exact moment to be here. And you, Justin Moon, for you to be here. God bless you guys. What is he calling you to do? Your next step is your next step. Follow him, and you'll find great blessings.